Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
An enormous opportunity, and like I said...
And Oregon's, that will be Dante Moore, who played as a freshman at UCLA, but that will be like...
I would say, to answer your question, of the two teams that I'm just curious about, Oregon and Penn State. Oregon goes undefeated a year ago. Dylan Gabriel is super-duper talented. They've been recruiting at elite level. But I think Oregon, you kind of have to prove it to me again, right? And the last time we saw you, you ran into a buzzsaw in Ohio State, but you got embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed. So when you're looking at like the futures board right now, you've got Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, and then it's Penn State and Oregon. And I think those two teams, look, Penn State, you've got all the goods. You've got a quarterback who's a veteran, and none of those other schools that we mentioned have that. You've got elite running backs in Singleton and Allen. I think you did improve in your wide receiver room what you needed, but it is also worth noting the two best players on that roster aren't there anymore. Tyler Warren's gone, and Abdul Carter is gone. And, I mean, those are pretty
good losses. Tyler Warren was like 60% of their targets. Like, it was insane.
I mean, how about the fact that they played Notre Dame in the semifinal of the playoffs, and they had a combined 0 receptions from their wide receivers?
I think the stat was 1 target, and it was the interception at the end.
So, and look, Jimmy Franklin takes his strays. I enjoy throwing them his way too. But dude, you got to do it, man. Like, you're what, 1-19 all time against top 5 teams? Like, you had the ball on the 1-yard line against Ohio State at home, and you couldn't get into the end zone, and you had a cheat code in 44 on your roster, and you didn't give him the ball. So I think I'm not saying that I'm selling Penn State and I'm out on them. I'm very curious because of the returning production that they have at the quarterback position, at the running back position. They go out, they get Jim Knowles to be their defensive coordinator. I mean, they have made, arguably, the last two off seasons, the biggest two splashes from an offensive and defensive coordinator standpoint, going and getting Andy Koltynicki, the boy genius from Kansas, and then poaching away Jim Knowles from your conference rival. So they don't really have any excuses, is the way I'm looking at this year for Penn State.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. We'll discuss the breaking news of the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau. There's also a story out of Illinois that is proposing a tax per bet made. Wanted to discuss that with Tim and more when we come back, including the NCAA tournament expansion. We'll do all that during hour number 2. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. VIP Play is live in Tennessee, and that means that you can go claim your VIP Play welcome bonus. When you make your first bet of $5 or more, you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. All you have to do is use the promo code Odyssey, AUDACY, when making your first bet. Week 1 NFL lines and futures are live, as well as college football and NFL season futures. You can also get a 10% profit boost on any NFL Week 1 game. Also, there are plenty of Vols and Titans football specials in the specials tabs with offerings exclusive to VIP Play. Also, the VIP Players Club sweepstakes is going on, and that means that every bet you make on VIP Play gets you entries into the sweepstakes. You'll earn one entry per bet, one entry per dollar bet, and 10 times your entries on parlays and same game parlays. You'll be playing for a chance to win $10,000. Contest runs through the end of the month. VIP Play, where everyone gets treated like a VIP. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. Tom Thibodeau. Yes, according to Chris Herring and Shams Charania of ESPN, fresh off their deepest playoff run in 25 years, the New York Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau on Tuesday. The decision comes 2 days after the Knicks were ousted from the Eastern Conference Finals in 6 games by the Pacers, their longtime rivals. But it also comes after New York advanced further than expected with a relatively new core of players, knocking out the defending champion Boston Celtics in the second round. Thibodeau has passed Pat Riley earlier this season, ranked 4th all-time on the franchise list in victories, led the Knicks to back-to-back 50-win seasons for the first time since 1995. He'd been by far the club's most successful coach over the past 2-plus decades and signed a 3-year extension with the team just last summer. Okay, Tim, I don't know if this says anything or if this is maybe just dealing in reality. I think the thing that was a little bit interesting to me is when you got the notification that this had happened, I had less of a reaction than I did when the Grizzlies fired Taylor Jenkins. And that's not even to say, like, I think he deserved to be fired. It was just something that, I don't know, I guess to me, I think about The Athletic had the story on Saturday night, basically loaded up, ready to go about like everything that had gone wrong. And that to me is always a good indicator of like, he ain't in a good spot here. And I don't know, like I just find it interesting that a coach that I think you have to objectively say has done a good job, and there wasn't like one thing you could point to that, man, this was a problem, he's just on the street.
Yeah, I think if you rank the shock of the three, is it the three most recent firings, which would be Malone, Jenkins, and Tibbs? Was there another coach fired?
Did we have another playoff firing?
I don't know. I could be missing one, but let's just use those three in the level of
no.
Where
I think those are the three.
Because the Suns fired Bud much earlier in the season, right? They just haven't hired a coach yet. Is that right? Because Malone,
or did they wait? Nuggets, no, or did maybe they waited? Did they
fired Bud after the season?
Yeah, I think Bud was technically, but yeah. Like we knew, I don't know.
You
knew that was coming. Yeah,
all right, but because that was of the four, obviously that was the least surprising of the four. But to your point, in the level of shock, I think I would go Malone, Jenkins, big gap, Tibbs, and I think it's just the nature of the beast of the NBA. Now he'd been there 5 years, and I think probably the mindset of born on third base Jimmy Dolan was this was our shot and we didn't take advantage of it. Whether that's fair or not, you know, the Knicks have a pretty good shot of winning the East next year. I don't know what moves they're going to make, but I wanted to spin it real quickly because I thought this is pretty interesting. Seth Davis just put this out on Twitter. And, you know, a lot of us are wondering, all right, who's next? Is it Danny Hurley? Is it Michael Malone? Is it, you know, the assistant that I mentioned and in Cleveland that is up for the Phoenix job?
Johnny Bryant.
Johnny Bryant.
I almost wonder, though, how much impact of Tommy Bryant hitting all those threes in game 6 matters of, like, that name kind of rhymes, and so it's like, let's get that.
And then there's Jay Wright, right? They're the Nova Knicks. Seth Davis. I've been working with Jay Wright on TV for 3 years. Based on every conversation we have had, I would say there is a greater chance that I will be the next Knicks coach than him. The difference is, if they call me, I will say yes. So
I got to give Seth a quick hat tip. To somehow work yourself into that is really good stuff.
Well done. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a new level of narcissism.
Good job. Good job there, Seth. But
I mean, I'm not going to dismiss his opinion, but at the same time, like, I guess the way I would say it is,
I think, you said this earlier in the show, which is, would Jay Wright listen? And you scoff at the thought of every college job that opens up that is ever mentioned with Jay Wright. And I would agree, right? He's pretty clearly said, I'm not going to college anymore. I don't want to be in college. I left an amazing situation at Villanova where I'm a legend and had no pressure, and I'm not going back. The NBA might be different, and, you know, coaches are built different, but I thought that was interesting to kind of see Seth come out so demonstratively and say that Jay Wright is not going to take this job if called.
I think this is the other aspect of this question. We've seen plenty of college guys go and end up having some success in the NBA, but it's a mixed bag for sure.
Big time. More failures than successes, for sure, too.
If you're going to fire Tom Thibodeau, doesn't it seem like you're bringing in someone with a pedigree? Like, I do feel like this is why the obvious answer, like, if all roads lead to Michael Malone, like, that kind of makes sense to me.
If you're firing Tom Thibodeau, and based off of the New York people that I follow, I'm not going to say all of them, but a good chunk of them are saying they don't agree with this. They're surprised by this. It's the wrong move. It's Dolan overreacting, whatever. You would think, and I'll give them credit, because when they went and got Jalen Brunson, I thought that was a pretty ballsy move, especially because I think he had just underperformed in the playoffs, if I remember correctly.
They had that, remember the Mavs had that weird exit where,
and it was like, really, this dude is going to be your face of your franchise? It just kind of reeked of previous Knicks regimes where it's like, oh, he wants to be here and it's the Mecca, and he's been absolutely great. You know, he's been an absolute star. You know, they trade for OG Anunoby. Thought that was a good dude. Now, the Mikal Bridges trade looks like it's a, I don't want to say failure, but
I guess, though, this is the problem that I have. And, like, in the end, like, the reality is we have no idea what the players have said. Like, you know, he had to start mixing things up. Josh Hart gets moved to the bench, and
Carl Anthony Towns and Brunson can't stop a nosebleed, so you got to figure out how to massage that.
And Brunson kind of was sulking a little bit this series, you know, a lot of time on the bench. And so, again, I have no idea. Could the players have just said, like, we're done with this? I think that's entirely possible. That would also match the track record of Tom Thibodeau. Like,
so my question would be this. If they were done with Thibodeau, does the championship that Malone won give him enough gravitas? Because from everything that we've heard, he's kind of a hard ass too, right? Does this team want to continue with the hard ass, or do they want the kind of younger, kind of like when the Cavs went to Ty Lue, and Ty Lue's proven to be a pretty darn good coach. To that point, Johnny Bryant, what news came out the other day? Johnny Bryant was one of the finalists for the Suns job. Did they have to make this move now in order to get their former assistant, who has a relationship with a lot of these players, to be their head coach? That's what I don't know, but it seems like that could line up. So my thought is either they're getting Malone and going big game hunting and getting a guy that just won a championship and is brash and would fit perfectly in New York, or do they get the young up-and-comer who's got a familiarity with this roster and, you know, maybe a new-aged approach, so to speak, to this roster to change things up?
So a couple of things there. Bryant, did he play in the league? He looks like he played, but I can't remember if he did.
I don't know.
I know he played in college, but I don't remember if he played. Like, I remember him at Utah. I don't think he played in the NBA.
I don't think he played in the league.
No NBA.
Okay. Let's play out the scenario that you'd mentioned at the top of the show.
Okay.
If Halliburton's ball hits the back of the rim and doesn't go in, and you and I are correct, and we suspect that that flips the series and the Knicks win, are we still here? Like, let's say this.
Well, do they get swept?
Let's say they lose in five.
I think we are.
Okay, because that to me makes it a little bit better, because the problem that I keep seeing is all of the things that we were criticizing the Knicks, and not really me and you, but a lot of the common criticism, were the same things that were getting praised in the Boston series for why they won. Bridges, Brunson, Cat. Those are all reasons. Like, I keep wondering if maybe the mistake was, and this was always a working theory of people that I've respected about the NBA, is part of the reason why the East had so much mediocrity is because everyone was in a race to try and build a team to beat LeBron, and you weren't going to do that when LeBron was in his prime. I almost wonder if the original sin is focusing so much on building a roster to beat Boston and then realizing that that left you vulnerable in some other spots. Because it is, like, to me, what is clear is the same reasons you're able to beat Boston left you vulnerable, because in the end, the Pacers were able to make it an offensive contest.
Right. I'm trying to think, is this the right move to make if you're the Knicks? Because in this day and age, just saying we're going to run it back doesn't usually sit well, even though there's sometimes that you should just say, we're just going to run it back.
Well, they did improve on last year.
Yeah. No. And I think, to play devil's advocate here for Tom Thibodeau, like, you lost a pick'em series to the Indiana Pacers in six games, and you had an epic collapse in game one, as we've discussed. You also beat the Boston Celtics as a enormous underdog. And I feel like, because Tatum popped his Achilles in a game in which they had already come back and won the game, I feel like the Knicks aren't getting enough credit of beating the Celtics. Like, that series was wildly impressive to me. But because Tatum gets hurt in game four, even though, as mentioned, they came back, they already won the game. They were up double digits when Tatum pops his Achilles.
I think they went up 9 with 90 seconds left.
Right. I think, and I could be wrong, maybe I'm being crazy here, but I feel like because of that injury, it's like, well, yeah, you know, Tatum got hurt. It's like, yeah, well, they were up 3-1 when Tatum got hurt, and they were probably not going to come back, the Celtics, that is. So,
I don't think Tatum makes a difference in game six, do you?
No, I don't think they're winning that series. But regardless, and they, you know, the Celtics won game five without him, and then, as you mentioned, lost game six in a blowout. I'm very curious to see what the Knicks do, because old Knicks would go get Malone. Like, if this is the old guard, it's like they're getting Michael Malone, a championship coach who has this brash personality and is going to, you know, be perfect for New York. It feels like, and I'm giving them credit, the moves that they've made in recent years to build this roster and to make it the best roster they've had in this century, it feels like that move would be getting a guy like Johnny Bryant, who's a rising coaching profile, was with the Knicks for a long time, and that would be the route to go. So I'm very curious. And then the curveball, of course, is Danny Hurley, who turned down the Lakers because, you know, his wife apparently didn't want to move to L.A., but he's a guy from Jersey who I'm sure would love nothing more to be on the sidelines of Madison Square Garden as the head coach of the Knicks, but I don't think that personality would jive in the NBA. That dude blows a casket like every other week at referees in college basketball. That just won't work in the NBA, in my opinion.
I guess if you want to look at, like, historically, like, Phil Jackson never been a head coach, and they end up firing Collins.
They should just bring back Phil Jackson. He was great when he was running things in New York.
Well, like, but like, I'm trying to think of, like, that just feels like to fire Tibbs to go and hire an assistant. And maybe the assistant is great.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys that have gotten head coaching jobs and can't get it done.
No, I mean, I think the Bulls one's great. And I don't know if Michael Jordan's on that roster, which I don't think he is, but I mean, they went from Michael Jordan scoring like 38 points a game, right, under Doug Collins, to being running this triangle offense that didn't necessarily make a ton of sense for Michael Jordan, and it ultimately was the greatest decision that that franchise could have made.
I mean, I guess to a certain degree,
I'm not trying to compare Johnny Bryant to Phil Jackson, but what I'm saying is,
who knows? What if Johnny Bryant is? Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. What if he winds up? I'm trying to think, though. Of,
I mean, Eric Spoelstra was a damn, you know, video nerd and became one
I think
of the best
Spoelstra
coaches.
Is a good one to use because Spoelstra, and even remember Spoelstra came under fire. Remember LeBron wanted him done. He wanted him gone, and then
Riley's like, no,
he's not doing that. But, like, I'm trying to think, and I guess you could say once upon a time, Pat Riley was on the bench, and that worked out for the Lakers. But I feel like there are way more, like, the reason why we can name those.
Ty Lue was on the bench in Cleveland?
Right? Yeah.
And they fired Blatt?
Yeah, they fired Blatt halfway through.
That guy was a moron.
I feel like, though, the other thing with Ty Lue is, like, I always wonder, like, when they... I wonder if now the formula is you have to get somebody that literally played. It's because, like, I wonder if it's swung so far into the player empowerment era that the only guys they listen to are other players.
I mean, once again, I'll be honest. My extensive research on Johnny Bryant is me looking at his Wikipedia page. And now that I remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, he was pretty good at Utah. Like, him playing at Utah, is that good enough? Or do you have to play in the league?
I feel like you have to have played in the league. And I'm not, by the way, I want to be very clear on this. Like, this is probably not something I would do. I would go get the best coach because I don't necessarily think the best players make the best coaches. Sometimes good players make good coaches. Like, actually, I got on some kind of rabbit hole. You know what goes completely under the radar of, there's so many examples of wanting to trash great player that ends up coaching and it's a spectacular failure. We really don't give Larry Bird his due.
No.
He said he was going to coach 3 years. He did. He gets in year three, gets them to the finals against the juggernaut that was the Lakers, takes them to six. Everybody's thinking like, oh, well, that 3 years thing was just something to say. No, like, nope. I said I was doing it 3 years. I'm done. But, like, that was an unreal run, and I don't feel like we ever tip our cap to that.
Nah, it's a great point. We don't. I mean, and he took the 98 Bulls to seven games. He's the only coach in the six championship run
that took him to seven games.
Only team was the Pacers in 98.
I just feel like that gets completely overlooked, and like when we rattle off Larry Bird accolades, like, that never gets mentioned. It's like, oh, by the way, he said he was going to coach 3 years. He did an unbelievable job, and then he was done.
That's a good pull. No, I totally agree. Yeah, it's funny because because when they started showing the highlights of the 2000 Eastern Conference Finals,
yeah,
you're like, oh, yeah, Larry Bird. And we had that moment because he had that interaction with Jordan at the end of, what was that, Game 7 in the Last Dance when they embraced underneath the arena. And there were some, like, pleasantries, you know, bleep you or whatever it was.
Yeah, but like that, I don't even feel like, I feel like even during the Last Dance, we kind of overlooked that.
I think the only thing that came out of it was how stoic he was after Reggie Miller hit that shot.
Which was kind of, like, awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of like Jay Wright when they won the national title.
I don't know, like, I'm with you. This will be interesting because, honestly,
does Taylor Jenkins have any shot?
I think he had a better shot at the Spurs than we realized, but I don't think this. I don't think this would be one.
I don't think the New York, even though that you can't make a hire based off of.
No, I would not. Taylor in that environment. I mean, I'm telling you, you want to talk about going from the softest NBA market to the toughest NBA market? That would be what Taylor Jenkins would be doing. I had always heard if Philly made a change, he had a shot there. I guess, though, the other thing, though, is if you tell me they hire Johnny Bryant, that actually kind of falls in line with the types of hires that we've been seeing. Yeah. Somebody that was with the organization, maybe doesn't have the head coaching experience, but it's like, I just kind of wonder, is the league going cheap on coaches? Like, that's the other thing that I'm scratching my head with.
Well, it does kind of feel like you're trying to find the next Spoelstra. right? And that would, once again, kind of be this, right? Is a guy that's been assistant for 10 years, young guy, you know, does he embrace kind of the new age?
And I mean, Degnell's kind of the same thing. He was with the Thunder. He was with originally with their
G League,
D League, I think, even at the time. Then he was an assistant. Now
Nurse was that way too, right?
Yeah.
He was an assistant with the Raptors, and then, you know, they win the championship. And he, I mean, it's funny because you mentioned the Sixers. I had to double check. I'm like, is Nurse still coaching the Sixers?
I had to do that at the end of the regular season too. It's like they didn't fire him, right? I don't know. I just remember when he had his own logo in the 2019 NBA Finals on a hat. I decided I was out on him. He had like the golfer like initials logo. I'm like, no.
That, if you had Nick Nurse stock, the peak was that championship. You were like, ooh, I gotta sell.
Yeah, I shorted that bad boy. It's like, I don't know how long this stock's gonna last. So I don't know. I think this is actually pretty interesting. George, you had something you were gonna say?
Yeah, with the whole thought like process of, are we trying to go cheaper? Are we trying to? I'm not sure if they're trying to just go cheaper, but we're looking at a very nice crop of coaches that are getting fired either right in the middle of an extension or right before. Malone, his extension was supposed to kick in next season, so that's a $24 million buyout. Same with Tibbs, that's a $30 million buyout now. So, I mean, between just those two coaches, we don't know what Bud was on, or at least I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm assuming Bud wasn't cheap.
Probably not. I mean, but just between two coaches that were fired this cycle, that's $55 million in buyouts alone.
And maybe they're kind of Texas A&M-ing this where, like, hey, we just paid a ridiculous buyout. Like, let's go get Mike Elko. Let's not pay whatever $70 million to go and get Stoops out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something to watch. The state of Illinois. All right, Tim, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. This is from CNBC. Online sports betting stocks retreated Monday after Illinois lawmakers approved a budget strain that raised taxes on wagers, heightening investor alarm that other states could follow suit. DraftKings dropped 6%, while Flutter Entertainment shares fell more than 2%. The Roundhill Sports Betting and iGaming ETF pulled back more than 1%. Both chambers of Illinois' state legislature passed a budget that includes a tax of 25 cents per wager on the first 20 million online sports bets made each fiscal year, rising to 50 cents per bet afterwards. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker issued a statement saying that he would sign the budget, according to local news reports. Truist analyst Barry Jonas called the duties a last-minute surprise, adding that it's the second straight year of the state slapped an unexpected tax on the industry. Under the latest plan, Jonas said Illinois' rate will be among the highest in the country. Jonas said DraftKings and Flutter's FanDuel share both, quote, certainty. Should both, quote, certainly surpass 20 million wagers, meaning they'll face the higher tax on a portion of their bets. But Jonas called the impact for smaller competitors in the market more, quote, modest. Still, shares of MGM Resorts, which owns BetMGM's platform through a 50-50 joint venture with Entain, declined 1.5%. Penn Entertainment Partners in the ESPN Bet platform shed 0.3%. Now Wall Street is left wondering if other states will follow Illinois' lead and try and plug their budget deficits by either adopting or increasing online sports gambling taxes. Okay, so I guess the first thing is, I assume the gambling companies are going to leak it or look into whether or not this is legal, correct?
That would be yes. I'll read you a tweet Jeffrey Benson. He is the director of operations at Circa here in Vegas, who also has you can bet Circa in Illinois. They're live in, I think, 5 states. Circa is, it's Nevada, Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, and I think Kentucky. I'm not sure yet on that.
I do know they're not in Tennessee.
Yeah. This is what he said. He said, the goal of legalized wagering was to bring bets from offshore gray and black markets into the regulated onshore space. Yet, with every mind-boggling decision from both regulators and politicians, we continue to seemingly push money back offshore and take massive steps backward. It is simple. Provide a good regulated environment for both bookies and bettors to operate and reap the rewards for a fantastic product offering and all the tax benefits slash revenue that comes with it. However, greedy, illogical, and uneducated decisions from these folks have forced some sports books out of business or to sweeps, lessened competition, made market access damn near impossible, all for some short-term tax gains that is going to burn out a lot of the industry and its patrons. Hopefully, things change, although it doesn't seem like we are headed in a positive direction when the decision makers at the top are absolutely clueless, in parentheses, which is being kind.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, the gambling companies are paying taxes within the state anyway, right?
Believe so, yes.
To operate.
Yes. So there is some sort of payment there. But now it seems like they're upping that payment. And it is, in Jeffrey Benson's words there, could lead to some sports books going out of business.
Well, I think what this is interesting is, was this good news for the entrepreneurial bookmaker?
It does sound like it, right?
Because obviously this is just the state of Illinois, but I'm of the impression, and you tell me if I'm wrong, if this works for Illinois, it seems like Wall Street's thinking like I am. They're like, if this works there, it's going to happen everywhere.
Right, and then I think if...
Are we going to have to start paying sales tax on making legal bets?
Well, in a sense, yeah, because you're going to start seeing sports books charging more on the VIG, right? I mean, right now your standard VIG is -110. And so we're already paying a tax when we make bets, right? We're paying 11 to 10. In order to win, to be a profitable bettor, and I'm not talking about parlays and all of that, in order to be a profitable bettor, you've got to win around 53.5% of your bets in order to beat the house, because they're already taxing it on a standard bet at -110. And if this leads to, and I'm not saying it will, but if it leads to more sports books going to -112 or -115, while it doesn't seem over time, while it doesn't seem initially that's that big of a deal, over time, that's where it hurts you. So to your point, Jeffrey, whether it's your bet online or whatever you see offshore or your local bookie, it could be beneficial for those unregulated markets, because now your bigger fish, so to speak, that are dropping, you know, $5,000-$10,000 on a game, you know, that -110 adds up quick if it goes to -112, -115. And if these unregulated books are like, yeah, bring in your money here, we've got normal odds, I do wonder if there's a trickle down type of situation for your regulated sports books.
Well, this is also the other thing that has driven me insane. I understand that there are ways around it, but it is a lot more difficult when you have to load up the account and you've got to pay for every bet you make. When you bet on credit like you do with a bookie, I think that is when you get into the deepest holes.
Oh yeah.
And
look, I can I just say this real quickly? I think since moving to Nevada, I have been much more responsible, because as you pointed out,
you have to pay for
I
every
have to
bet.
Put up the money first.
Yes.
Right? I can't chase. I mean, I can chase because I, in theory, I could have the money in my account, but I had to go physically to the sports book here in Nevada and put money over the counter, and then they put it on my app. To your point, there is no betting on credit here in Nevada or with any legalized sports book. Now, could you get into trouble with a DraftKings or a FanDuel or whatever?
Like, can you
states?
Take out credit cards? Sure. Like, all this. Like, yes.
Well, and it could link to your Venmo, and you could just load up from your bank account into your DraftKings account via Venmo, which is really nice when I go on vacation to other states. I can't do that here. But to your point, you can't just call up DraftKings and say, hey, I want a credit of $1,000 to bet on this game. But like you can do with bookies. And that's where you hear the horror stories of people falling into massive debts and then, you know, the inevitably bad story happening where they're coming to get their collectings, you know, all of that. That's why legalized
sports... Or just like
sports-
ruining your financial life. Like that's how you, like to me, like that, I would venture 90% of the people that I know that had real gambling problems, all of them were bookies.
Probably. People that I know here in town are with bookies.
Because when you're betting on credit, like when you, hey man, I'm down 500, but I'm going to just keep chasing on this. Well, the fact that you don't have to have 500 bucks to put it up, like that matters.
How about this? Matt Eumanns, my co-host, told the story of the 2004 NBA Finals. So that Finals is getting brought up a lot because it was the only, it's the only time in NBA history that we've had an underdog, I believe, of like 4-1 or higher to win the NBA Finals. That was the Pistons, and they were a 5-1 underdog to beat the Lakers, and they did in five games. And he told this story. He was like, I got to leave out some details because, you know.
Protect the innocent.
Yeah, but he said essentially what happened was there was a guy in town who was working at a place of employment that had a safe. He went into said safe, took out, I think it was $30,000, betted on the Lakers, and he was like, all good, man. I'll just put the $30,000 back in 2 weeks. I'll make my money, and everyone's happy. Well, the Pistons won the NBA Finals. He had to go tell his bosses, stole $30,000 from your safe. Needless to say, that place of employment no longer employs him.
Yes.
And he had to, I believe, leave the state.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, there's a story that's a little depressing about NCAA tournament expansion. We'll discuss that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
On FM, ESPN.
All right, Tim, John Orrand of Puck and his latest podcast, The Varsity. He was discussing NCAA tournament expansion. Here are a couple of the money quotes. Quote, if I was a betting man, my bet would be the that next year's tournament will be expanded to 76 teams and that the NCAA and the TV networks will work out a deal. But I don't expect anything to happen for a couple of months. These are the issues that they need to work through. First, any expansion would put more games on the opening 2 days of the tournament, the Tuesday and the Wednesday, the so-called play-in games. These games aren't going to create any new windows for the TV networks. And the fact is that the networks don't place a lot of value on the added four college basketball games or however many there are. In this era of cord cutting, traditional media companies need to find value in these kinds of deals. And if they can't see it, so be it, they'll walk. Now, on the NCAA side, they have an expectation that any expansion to the tournament will bring with it a healthy rise in their rights fees. But and this is really important to note, neither CBS nor TNT Sports is contractually obligated to pay more if the tournament expands. But that doesn't mean that a deal is far off. Their current deal runs through 2032, and I've seen this play out time and time again. Neither side wants to create friction for the next 7 years, so look for the NCAA to sweeten its offer in other areas. For example, would CBS and TNT agree to a higher rights fee if the NCAA modifies some of the restrictions it has on how networks sell corporate sponsorships around the tournament? That's a possibility. Are there other sweeteners that the NCAA could provide to convince the networks to play along? For sure. The bottom line is everyone likes each other, TNT, CBS, and the NCAA. And from what I hear, the negotiations seem to be humming along. I fully expect both sides to reach an agreement. I just don't have a handle at what that agreement looks like yet. So this is where I would say it's been kind of a bummer. I've kind of taken a little bit of solace in this era of everyone trying to create new inventory for new money that a lot of the push for NCAA tournament expansion seemingly has not gotten anywhere. When I listened to John, this made me feel very, very bad that we're probably going to have an expanded tournament. Again, is it going to ruin our Thursday and Friday? Probably not. But like, I just keep coming back to it. Year after year, we recognize when we get to the bubble teams that, man, we just don't have 68 good teams to put in, and now we're just going to be watering it down even more.
I feel like every year we get upset about like one team. And, you know, 2 years ago it was Indiana State. I forget who it was this year. And now, like, I was just doing the quick math. If we go to 76, that means we have 12 play-in games. And how are they going to structure that, right? Is it going to be all of the 16 seeds? It probably is a little bit of both where it's the, I don't know, the last 12 at-larges and the last 12 auto bids, I guess.
My suspicion is what you're going to see is now instead of two 16 play-in games, and it's important to note, despite being a play-in team, you still get a full share as if you were playing a first-round game. And
right.
So
and,
a lot
and
of those,
is, yeah,
a lot of those
is,
leagues want that because it gets right. them the opportunity to actually win a game and therefore get a second payment. So what I would presume is, okay, there are four more teams, so there you go, that's 72, and then 76 would be you're going to have two additional, whatever, 6-11. Did we now add a 10 seed in the whatever, the 11, 12 seed games that we keep seeing?
Yeah, so if we do all the 16s, that would be...
So instead of the last four in, it'll be the last eight in.
Right.
And that gets you to 76.
My question is this. Does this expansion go hand in hand with TNT losing the NBA?
I don't think
overthinking.
No, that? I don't think you can rule it out because
they are not going to. I have something too I want to get to in the closing. I know we're going to hit a break here in just a minute, but I did find something kind of funny. But I know there's like a weird trade that NBA the NBA on TNT show. What's it called?
Inside the NBA.
Inside the NBA. that's like a trade with ESPN, and ESPN's essentially giving them like Big 12 football games, not a lot of them, and Big 12 basketball games. That's like the trade-off, because the Inside the NBA show is still going to be produced by TNT. My thought was this real quick. And I get it, like Ernie Johnson's been part of Turner forever, and you know, and Barkley's doing his rounds of like, oh, you know, I only want to work two more years, and you know, Bill Simmons is on his podcast, like he thinks that the, you know, the ESPN's gonna mess up Inside the NBA. You folks knew, though, it's not going anywhere. Like, it's just gonna be on ESPN. It's the same show. And like, I don't know about you, when McAfee's on ESPN dropping F-bombs, I don't think the ESPN folks are going to mess with the Inside the NBA. I saw Shaq came out and he said he was concerned that they're going to, you know, mess with Charles and all this. You say whatever you will about ESPN, I think they recognize that that show is pretty darn near perfect, and I don't think they're going to mess with it. That's just my
I'm 100% with you. Also, ESPN has a bad history of actually like creating content of like in-house, like using their own people. They make pretty bad shows that way. But most of the people that were involved in some of the disasters we're talking about, those people are gone. And now Pitaro, who's been the main guy making decisions, he's kind of like put his hands up being like, the day and age of like building our own stars, it's probably gone. We're probably gonna have to go and pay for them. And so now it's clear what they're doing. They're just licensing other content and they're putting it on their airwaves.
Look, is there going to be a day next winter where Stephen A. finds his way onto the desk? Probably. Are we not going to like it? Yes. But I think when it comes playoff time, I think you're still going to get Kenny, Shaq, Charles, and Ernie doing their thing.
The
and
biggest,
I think it's going to be pretty uninterrupted.
You know what I think the biggest issue is going to be? It's not going to be the censorship of the content. I think the biggest issue is going to be is one of the nice things about Inside the NBA is because Turner doesn't have a lot of stuff afterwards, it's allowed to just go until they decide, all right, it's kind of like a podcast. Like they just go until they decide they're done, and then they close up shop. The biggest problem that I see is the SportsCenter with SVPs become like ESPN's post-game show, and I don't think that it's just going to breathe. Like I think they're going to like try to toss it to Van Pelt.
Yeah,
and I'm fine with that because I think that's a great show.
Yeah, I mean, I am as big of an SVP guy as possible. So I think he does an amazing job in those post-game situations. But I think SVP would even recognize, like, I'm not
them. And maybe one of them stays on ABC, but, like, I don't know how that works with the affiliates. And then one
and, like, is SVP okay? Hey, SVP, and I don't know the guy personally. Hey, you'll do post-game for the Stanley Cup. You'll do post-game for college football and NFL, all of this. NBA is going to be the Inside the NBA guys. And I my gut would tell me, okay.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But I do think, yes, you are correct, that I think Turner is trying to add more sports inventory, and this would probably make some sense. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to former GM David Sampson, who said on CBS Sports, what Kansas City has done is the single most irresponsible move I've seen in quite a long time. That move was bringing up Jack Castiglione for the fans, but because basically they're calling up before middle of June, he's going to go to arbitration a year early, and so God forbid we do something that, I don't know, our fans would actually want to see. Caglione, beg your pardon.
The dual threat, man. Yeah. He was doing both last year. He's been dropping mammos in the minors. Yeah.
We're complaining about a guy who played like a month in AAA and had like 15 yaks.
Yeah, also I would say in response, what we've been seeing a lot of times is teams, if you come from a cheap franchise, yeah, that's fine, but like what the Braves have been doing is like when guys, they've been paying guys early and extending them a long time. There are other ways around this. If you want to bring up a great player, you can do it. Like this, it's so absurd to me.
It's baseball for you, baby.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
All right, see you.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.